Welcome to the Barrel Chat Podcast, where we provide an unfiltered look into the craft beer industry from the untrained palates of two dumbass outsiders. I am Matthew Muncy, and as always, I'm joined by Dustin Wood. Dustin, how are we doing this evening?
Good. I'm super excited to be talking about what news is happening and kind of jump into what I've been drinking. Had some pretty awesome beers. I am imbibing on a pretty god darn good beer right now. So super excited about being able to talk about that. So how have you been, dude? Anything fun going on in your life?
Not really. Just trying to survive this heat wave that's coming through.
Right.
Heat waves and being fat do not mix very well. But you know, that's all right. I think I'm going to try on Saturday and get out to King Jug Brewing.
Oh yeah, they opened last weekend, right?
They opened today. So this is being recorded Thursday night. Yeah, 6-1. I got a bunch of alone time on Saturday cuz the wife and kid are going to a pool. So I was like, "You know what? Let's go. It's in Fishers. It's not far. They're open at like 4. I think it was like 4 to 10. It's like, "Eh. Let's go give it a shot. See what they're all about."
I told them we were going to reach out and come visit. So if you jump into the IG and and reach out to them, I'm sure they'll be like, "Yeah, come on by. It's going to be busy as crap." But
yeah, figured it's worth it. And I assume they're over there by 4 Day Ray over in that area. So go maybe
hit
them up.
They're over by themselves. I don't know where they are, but I think they're over kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, I just saw Lantern Road, and I know that's kind of where 4 Day Ray is, so took a guess.
Maybe it is. You might be right. I think it might be north of them, though.
All right. Well, before we jump into the show, make sure you follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok. You can just look up Barrel Chat or Barrel Chat Podcast. You can also now listen to this show on YouTube, Barrel Chat Podcast on there as well. And if you do enjoy this show, we ask that you leave us a rating on whatever platform you're doing so on. So whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, just like, subscribe, rate, you know, let's go down that path now. And you can also join our Discord server, which is basically a chat room. Just we're slowly getting new people each day, and we're actually looking towards ways of maybe doing some live old school shows because we can do them at home. So when we drink 45 Imperial Stouts, it's not a problem.
And yeah, we can bring other people on and drink with us too. Yeah,
that is true. Yeah. We could do all kinds of fun stuff in Discord. And, so all you gotta do is contact us, either DM us or email us, which is barrelchatpodcast@gmail.com, or just look out. I'm always posting it on Instagram and Facebook, in the stories and stuff, the link to join. So go ahead and do that and join us for the fun. If you don't know what Discord is, just hit one of us. Well, hit me up. I'm the one who knows how to do it. And, and I'll get you all set up. So the Friday 4-pack, if you are new to this show, consists of four different topics. First of all, what we've been drinking, and tonight what we're currently drinking. Two news stories and what's happening around the Indiana beer world over the next couple months. So we'll jump in here to what we've been drinking. Let's start with what we are drinking. What do you got on tap in front of you right now?
So I'm rocking right now Wolf's Ridge Brewing Company's Clear Sky Double Shot Cinnamon Toast Brunch. And I'm telling you what, it is probably one of the best like flavored cream ales that I've ever had, for sure. But with it being an imperial, it's 9% ABV cream ale with a ton of amazing adjunct like flavoring in it. Quick notes here. It says a few of our beers carry the type of cult following that Cinnamon Toast Brunch has had over the few years that we've been brewing it. Built upon the base of our award-winning Daybreak recipe, we then add the finest whole cinnamon to this beer to create a one-of-a-kind, out-of-this-world drinking experience. The craft double shot variant, we raise the alcohol, we double down on the whole cinnamon, vanilla beans, and as well as the finest coffee. Basically, it's just a monster-ass version of regular Cinnamon Toast Brunch, And it is, you can taste the alcohol, so you can taste the ABV. I like that quite a bit. But you get all the cinnamon. You do get the coffee. It's got a huge nose. Man, I just feel like it's Daybreak on steroids.
I just about pulled that beer out of my fridge. I looked at it, and I was like, I don't know if I want that much beer for this. But I probably should have went with that now, knowing that you had it, because we could have talked about it. But
dude, it's good. Like, it's got the coffee that you were missing in the episode. So
yeah, which comes out next Wednesday, by the way. Daybreak, their coffee vanilla cream ale from Wolf Ridge Brewing. So be on lookout for that.
But yeah, it's man, I tell you, their graphic designer is bar none one of my favorites in the beer world. So just the simplicity of this label, but also how beautiful it is. It's got the Cincinnati skyline in the background with like a nice, like, dirty ombre of colors. It looks like somebody watercolored and then like went and rubbed dirt all over it. So it's just got this weird effect, but it's got the state of Ohio on it. It's got their wolf. It's got one line logo on it. It's got Wolf's Ridge logo, which I think is one of the cleanest brewery logos out there right now. It's just, it's easy to read. It's recognizable. I like it. So overall, this is super exciting. If you get to that area, go check it out for sure.
Nice. And then what have you been drinking this week?
So I made down some notes here. Last night I went to North Mass Boulder and did some bouldering with my buddy Paul. We then went and got some drinks up at the draft setup there. They have like 14 tap handles. But I had Guggenhaus's Hop Traveler, which is their new double IPA. It's featuring HBC 586, which my dumbass should have done some research on. But it's something special because it's an experimental thing. It's also based with a Citra Cryo hop, so it's like a special editions of the Citra, so it's not just the cone hop. It's something like more powerful, I think. But they said it's an experimental with the new hop varietals for them. Holy God, it was good. Like, super thick body, a beautiful, like, yellowy, like, thick, like, hazy appearance. Just the perfect looking hazy. But it had some monster fruit notes, some citrus notes. But the thing that really jumped out to me was the amount of pineapple in that beer. Like, it just, it literally felt like taking a bite out of a juicy pineapple. And then it's just nice and smooth all in all. It was, to be fair, it might be one of my favorite hazies that they make. I love most of their hazies, but this one was just a different profile, different flavor. So huge fan of it. So that was Hop Traveler. Check it out. I don't know where else you'll find it other than at Guggen or at the climbing gym, but I'm sure they're out there somewhere. Other than that, I have I was in Tennessee, well, just north of Tennessee recently, and we'll call him my cousin. Weird connections. My wife's cousin, so I don't know what the hell that makes him to me. Like my second cousin twice removed or some nonsense like that. But he brought some Bearded Iris, and I had Chasing Rainbows New England IPA. That was the one that really stuck out to me. They say it's a vibrant, fruit-forward IPA with big notes of stone fruit using cashmere and strata. I'm not going to lie to you, it was good, but there's better out there from Bearded Iris. I've become such like a big fan of Bearded Iris's stuff that I expect more out of them. And this felt like some of the old school hazies that were coming out in 2017 and 18 and 19, whenever they first started like hitting the market hard. It just had a little bit of a hop burn to it, which isn't what I really wanted. But I will say that label is just ridiculous. It's like super iridescent, looks like bubbles of water over top of iridescent multicolor, like rainbow look, and just really well done. The final beer that really stuck out to me recently was Upland Brewing Company's Raz Cherry Beret. I think I've talked about it once before, but I had it again, and it's worth talking about again. Upland makes great sours, but this one was unique to me because it literally finishes like a lager, but a, like a tart lager. So it's got a super beer finish on the back end, but it's all fruit on the front with huge raspberry notes, some cherry undertones, nice tart, but then literally it feels like you're drinking like a lager or a good ale on the back end. So it still has that beer note that I'm always looking for. So it's a nice throw it on, set out. It's a good lawnmower beer, for lack of better terms. Like, it just has that lawnmower quality to it. Big fan.
I was just about to ask if this was in one of their big fancy sour bottles, and then you said it was a lawnmower beer. And I was like, nope.
Bet straight up, I bet it's in 12-ounce cans if they can it. Okay. I had it on draft at the climbing gym. They bring in a bunch of sours, and hazies is really their game.
All right. I am imbibing on, which I find funny, because I said I didn't want to drink 16 ounces of beer, so instead I went with 12 ounces.
Yeah, I was going to say that's Blood Axe, right?
Of Eric Blood Axe. I don't want 16 ounces of beer, so give me 12 ounces, but at 11%. So this is the Braggot Imperial IPA from Scarlet Lane. And we will definitely be talking about this here in the probably next month or so as one of our reviews. You know, so I don't want to give too much away. The can looks like kind of all their cans now, very 80s horror themed kind of can. I know not all of their stuff looks like that. They got some playful things going on, but I feel like all their house beers kind of have like an 80s vibe to them. I don't really know what to really make of it, but it's all right.
I'm not
gonna
lie.
Spoiler alert, I like the original label better.
I miss the dude on the label.
The Viking.
Like that to me just screamed Eric Blood Axe.
Yeah.
It just felt right. And now it just looks like their run-of-the-mill can, which is, semi-disappointing for me, but it's probably just cheaper in the long run to just have. They probably just went in-house with the design work. That looks like something good old Josh would have done.
I will say this. The Eric Blood Axe is textured. And I love it. I love when cans are like that. So it's a nice little touch to it. But I mean, to be fair, super slick can. It does kind of help, like if they were to go back into a distribution model of some kind, like this and Lenore. I remember seeing Lenore. They look the same, can wise. So if you at least got something like that going on for your house beers in a way, then it's fine. It's fine. I also didn't have to pay like $20 for a bottle of it. I think pack was $15, $20, something like that.
What matters is the liquid anyway, right? Like, what matters is what's inside the can for the most part. I mean, especially if you know that you've had it before and you know you like the style or it's a brewery that you trust. That's not to say that it doesn't matter what your can looks like on the shelf in the middle of Total Wine with 65,000 other cans.
Yeah, the OG bottle would definitely stand out more than this 12-ounce can. That is for sure, especially for something like this. But a Braggot is basically just a mead that has been made. I think it's like 51% malt or something like that. So, and then this one has a base beer of a double IPA, an Imperial IPA, which is pretty interesting.
It makes me want to drink it out of my really cool horn cup.
Yeah, actually, that would be pretty fun.
I have this cool like cup from a Viking Fest, and it's like a FDA-approved lacquer that you can drink out of. So I always drink mead out of it at festivals, and it hooks to my belt so that I can carry it. Yeah, big fan.
That actually does sound pretty good. Not going to lie. What I have drank lately, I also had an Upland Brewing beer. I had their Ooh. Two of Tarts, which was a passion fruit and mango sour fruited Gosa. I love me some Gosa beers. Thanks to Westbrook getting me hooked on that a few years ago down in South Carolina. So this is, it's super just refreshing. And I bought a six pack when I went camping and I drank like five of them and like didn't realize it because it's 4.5%. You don't really taste any beer or anything like that. Like, it just goes down pretty smooth. It's a gosa. It's got the saltiness to it. Everything's very kind of subtle. Nothing really overtakes the fruit and stuff's not overpowering at all. So it's super refreshing. Like, I was out fishing, drinking most of it, and just didn't cause any issues. Like, I couldn't go fish and drink Eric Blood Axe. Like, that would be a bad time.
I mean, you could.
You can. I mean, technically, you could just go have a bottle share and fish if you wanted to. You're probably going to lose your fishing pole at some point, but...
Don't threaten me with a good time.
But I really like it. I got it as a six-pack, which I thought was... What I thought was great was I was in Liberty, Indiana, which is BFE nowhere, and went into a liquor store down there expecting only to see, you know, Bud, Bush, the usual. And they had like an entire craft section. They had Zombie Dust. And I was like, it's one of those where it's like, now you know. It's literally everywhere. Like, I could find it in Liberty, Indiana, across the street from a store that still sells a ton of Trump memorabilia.
Dude, it's everywhere. I've seen it
really
in,
is.
Like, I've seen it in gas stations. I've seen it in like the smallest, most hood Kroger that we stopped at on the way down south. I was like, oh, I just need, you know, some snacks for the rest of this trip. And I walked in and was like, what the hell? This is in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's southern Indiana. And now we're getting Three Floyds distro of Zombie Dust there. Like, what happened? Oh, yeah. Wait, you actually could have brewed this much the whole time?
Yeah, it is wild to see just how far reaching it has become. It'll be, and it's kind of curious because it's like, will there be a retraction at any point? Like, will they be over-distributed? We've seen that happen before, so
yeah,
I feel like they're too big for that to happen, but we have seen it.
I mean, we've had a lot of breweries pull out of distro recently, mm-hmm. and the more I talk to breweries on the phone all day at work, the more it sounds like that's probably going to be the case. Like, they make just so much more money in-house. It's just the numbers are mind-blowing.
I mean, that's not too surprising. Plus, I mean, you're also getting somebody in who's going to a brewery just to buy beer and not, like, to take home and not to, like, grab a beer or something while you're there. So, I mean, it makes sense. I don't disagree with it, and I think there'll still be some, but I could see a lot of places going, especially, like, the full-on, like, outside of the state distribution or something like that. Then I went down, I had a buddy come into town and I took him on a little tour of some breweries. First, we went to Hot Boys. Shout out Hot Boys.
Matt's trying to get a sponsor here from Hot Boys. You need to tag him in the damn show.
I will tag him. If you don't know, Hot Boys is a like Nashville hot chicken place down in Fountain Square where the old Pepe's Grill used to be next to Siam Square. It is the best chicken sandwich I've ever had in my entire life. It continues to be that a year. I've basically been going there for a year now. Just fantastic. The only other place that you can get Hot Boys chicken is in California. So we just got lucky and got one here. So
what are the chances of that? Especially in Fountain Square.
Yep. Yeah. And so it's something where I tell everyone to go. I've yet to have anyone hate it. Not like it. They do sell beer. They do sell alcohol. So it's great. The only time it ever sucks is on a hot day, like in the like evening, like 6-7 o'clock. If you try and go during the summer and it's like 85 degrees outside, it's probably going to be hard to get a seat inside because there's not much space. And sitting outside is miserable because
eating hot chicken outside sounds terrible.
Yeah. And there's like really no shade and stuff like that. It's one of those where it's a perfect spot for them, but it's not big enough at the same time. But there's also nowhere to really grow in that space. So it's kind of a unique
Well, they should just buy the old BrewDog place.
Yeah, that's true. So we went there, and then we walked down the street to Chili Water. So I introduced him to Chili Water. I had the Black Friday Belgian Black. To be honest, I don't really remember much about this beer. I did not write any notes down, And when I went looking for notes, I couldn't find any. There's like nothing on Untappd. I couldn't really find what a Belgian black was. It seems like that's not an actual style, and it's more of just like a Belgian dark. So they just called it a Belgian black.
I feel
black.
Like that's a Belgian dark, probably.
Yeah, but that's what they call it. That's what's listed on their menu. It's 6.6% ABV. It's a Belgian. It was a Belgian dark, and I really like Belgians, and I like the dark Belgians because that's like getting into, I believe, I could be wrong, but I feel like they're not too dissimilar from like what, traveling into like Belgian quads and Belgian triples and stuff like that, which I'm a big fan of. So yeah, went to Chili Waters, went, that was the night I bought the hat, finally got myself a brewery hat, and I really like that hat. And it was only $25, which I thought was a pretty good price. Hats.
I feel
hats.
Like that's pretty good for a brewery. You're going to get normally 20 to 60, depending on where you are, right?
Yeah. Like, I was expecting like 30, 35, but it was something where I was like, I liked the hat a little bit too much that I was willing to spend a little bit more, but it came in at 25. And then what was nice is they do make your own 4-packs at Chili Water. So that was quite nice because I brought home 4 beers that I haven't, a few that I haven't tried before of theirs, and then a few that I just haven't tried in a while. I had the German Pilsner out of a can. It was all right. It reminded me way too much of like Bud Light. Like it had that kind of flavor to it and a little off-putting. I do have a jalapeno, or it's a habanero beer from them.
Ah, look so at you, branching out into the real man's beer.
I thought about bringing that one on to one of these episodes just so we could taste it and see what's happening there. The last one I had, we then went over to Googman. I had to take him there. It's like, if you're coming into Indy, it's like Sun King. It probably would have been Sun King and Googman if we would have had time. But Chili Water was down the street, and you got to walk off that chicken once. And we went to Hotel Tango. I forgot to mention that, which is across street from Chili Water. But we ended up at Googman as the last stop, and I gravitated right towards that Dirty Chai Baltic Porter that they made with Cosmetic that we had right after they had made it. Like, we ended up going to Cosmetic to have it, and it's just so good. Like, Baltic Porters are such an interesting porter style. Like, I looked it up, and it's a smooth, cold fermented and cold lagered beer brewed with lager yeast.
That's why it was chosen, most likely, because Ryan pushed and pushed and pushed because they wanted to do something out of the like massively out of the ordinary. And by they, I mean Googman, because Ryan is a sessionable brewer. Like, that's his whole goal as a brewery is to be more sessionable. And Googman House is like, no, big, bad, bold, big as all get out. Well, this is the perfect collab. I honestly think this is probably the perfect balance between two brewers, that you get Ryan's crispiness that out of the brew. So it's that unique, like, lager, nice and smooth, perfectly brewed. And then it just has those big hits of all the flavor that you get in that beer. Yeah, big fan. So shout out to them. I'm sure that Matt's going to talk a little highly of it too, but dude, just shout out for that beer. So
I mean,
good.
There's literally nothing bad to say about it. It's 8.1%, which is way above what Ryan makes.
When it drinks way less than that too. It doesn't feel like that.
Yep. 4.13 on Untappd. So it's brewed with chai tea spice blend, medium roasted coffee beans, and then lagered for 8 weeks. And I mean, you taste everything. And that chai really pops. And yep. I don't drink chai tea, but I like chai flavor in beer. What's the one from, shoot, there was that
chai
one,
chai
guy. I loved chai guy. What was that? Milk stout, chai guy, milk stout.
Yeah.
RIP Blackacre. That one was fantastic. I remember I was able to find some of that right after they called it quits, still out at Meijer.
I need Manahan to make a chai version of his, Mercules. I think
that would be
super good. Like a smoked leather boot chai. Shout out, Manahan.
Well, let's hop on into the news. The first story we got here, this actually kind of started a little bit different when I was writing notes and then I changed it. So originally what I had seen was that Funky Buddha, which is a Florida brewery and a big time Florida brewery. I always kind of thought of them as like the Sun King of Florida at one point, and that could be wrong, but that was always kind of what I took it as. Never really had a bad beer from them. That Hop Gun IPA over there is pretty good. And what is it? Last Snow.
Yeah, Their Last Imperial. Snow was so good back in the day. I've had some bottles recently that just did not feel like the original Last Snow. But, man, that first few batches that I ever had, whew, holy cow.
So, Funky Buddha has rebought their brewery, essentially, from Constellation Brands. And so what has happened actually is that Constellation Brands is getting out of the craft beer game altogether. So they sold Funky Buddha back to the original owners. And then a brewery called Four Corners Brewing out of Texas was also sold back. And AB InBev sold, AB InBev also sold back everything to one of the companies that they had owned. Now, not a big one that rang any bells. So that's like three. So there's clearly something going on here that is causing these people to get out of the craft beer game. All the big time guys kind of selling stuff. But what really caught my eye with the story I found was that in 2016, Constellation bought Ballast Point Brewing for $1 billion. They sold it in 2019 to Kings and Convicts Brewing for $40 million.
Yep.
You ate $960 million in 3 years? How? How?
Because they pulled back all the distro as soon as the fucking thing got bought. You never saw it anymore.
You still don't see it.
I used to be able to get Sculpin in any liquor store.
Yeah.
Anywhere. And then AB InBev came in and bought it, and I was like, oh, cool. Maybe we'll get some of their more unique things distroed. No. They just took it all away. I don't know what happened, but that's the biggest disappointment in craft beer that I've had in a long time, because they made some crazy good beers, some fun beers. They were kind of on the like forefront of experimentals and then just disappeared. I can't tell you the last time I've heard the name Ballast Point other than us talking about it being bought back, or just talking at work about, you know, hey, things that we used to drink in the past. But what have you heard about it? It's just mind blowing. Like Wicked Weed still is big and they got bought out. But I don't understand what happened to Ballast Point.
I don't get it at all. And I don't understand how you lose that much value. Like that is a significant amount to get to a point where you feel the need that you need to sell the brand, and you sell it to just another random brewing company. Like, I've never heard of Kings and Convicts.
Neither have I.
At all. And it's just like, well, where the hell did you get $40 million to buy that? And that was the best offer you got? There wasn't anybody?
Heck, I feel like the brewer themselves could have offered $40 million at
That's Ballast my Point. Thought, too. Like, yeah, it's like, well, why not just do something like that?
It's interesting. So moving away from Ballast Point, I did read that, yeah, like Constellation is literally like stripping itself of all of its craft beers.
Yeah, I think they only had like two or three, and I think they're now just completely out of it. Sticking with their imports.
Because Four Corners, it just came up. Like, I haven't even sent the welcome email yet, but they just came up on my screen that I'm going to be talking to them. So it just seems like ironic timing, but it makes sense. Like, now they're like, well, I guess we're gonna need an ERP system.
yeah, you're not wrong.
So they just came through my dashboard, but maybe we'll start to see Funky Buddha again. I wouldn't be bad, or if you see it for the first time, I wouldn't be mad about that.
It'd be nice. I tell everybody when they go to Florida, you know, try find my mother-in-law goes to Florida a lot, and she will drink craft beer every now and then, and I always send stuff her way. She went down last time, and she sent me one that I had. I can't remember what it was called. And I was like, if you see Funky Buddha, just drink Funky Buddha. Like, man, you won't go wrong.
There are a little bit of derailment here, but Florida is putting out maybe arguably the best dark beers in the country from a bunch of breweries right now. And then some of their their game for like that fruited sour game is even bigger than some of the other locations that are huge, because they've got Tripping Animals. We just now opened Dream State, which is the old brewer from Tripping Animals. So it's the same dude brewing in a different place. But Three Sons is putting out huge stouts. They do collabs with the Wisconsin brewery that's Untitled Art. They have a collab with them that's huge, crazy. So don't sleep on Florida's beer game. If you get a chance to get down there, Invasive Species is amazing. Three Sons is amazing. They just, so many good breweries in Florida. Like, it's insane.
All right, on to the next news story. I found this one kind of interesting because I'm always curious how these surveys are done. But Drizzly, which is the service that will bring you beer, so like DoorDash for beer and yep. wine and liquor and everything else.
Is that still just tied to Big Red?
Oh, I didn't know it was ever just tied to Big Red, to be honest.
Back originally, I believe it was just Big Red that delivered through Drizzly. I don't know if it still is now or not, but
I don't
whenever
know.
I had to make the graphic for Indiana on Tap a way back when. Mm.
So they conducted a survey, and their findings show that less people are going out to drink due to inflation, which I think is somewhat true, but also not as true. I feel like the whole inflation thing is being overplayed media-wise and story-wise. Like, everything is just inflation. Like, we're going to sit here and talk about it, and I will tell you that I don't go out much, and it has nothing to do with inflation whatsoever.
I just don't like people.
That 100,000%. So this is the fifth annual nationwide survey uncovers that inflation is prompting a return to entertaining at home, with fewer people going out to an on-premise location. One in four respondents said that they will opt to drink at home more often in 2023 than at bars and restaurants.
Not contact me.
And then they talk about self-bartending at home, so essentially people just learning how to make cocktails at home and stuff like that. The rise in zero proof, which I don't know how much of that is really...
Now that's interesting to me. So Fishers, I don't know if it's open yet, but Fishers Indiana is getting like our first zero proof bar. Whole bar.
Can we take some bets on how long that thing lasts?
Is that not just a juice place? Like, is that not like what that is, right? Like,
but is this like true zero proof, or are we still talking O'Doul's where there's still alcohol in the beer?
Well,
and call it non-alcoholic, despite the fact that you still have to be 21 to buy it.
Yeah, I assume it's like Untitled Arts stuff that's a zero or NA. I don't know if it's zero proof, but. Yeah, they're literally like cocktails and mocktails, so to say.
Yeah, I am kind of curious. Like,
that's just juice, damn it, right?
I've not tried any zero proof. Maybe we should try that. Maybe we should try and find something, even if it's just liquor, because I'm kind of curious what does zero proof vodka taste like?
I've had Southern Grist makes a zero proof or an NA sour that is stupid good. Like, it's basically just fruit juice at that point. But
yeah.
But to be fair, I ruined the entire idea because I bought it and then I poured rum in it.
Oh.
But
the big one I want to try is Athletic Company.
Yeah. The one that makes all the different ones.
Yeah.
I've not had any of theirs. I've seen it on shelves, but for a long time you couldn't find it on shelves because yep. everybody was buying it. But it is, it's a huge deal. There's a lot of breweries that are jumping on board. Like Sun King did a zero proof recently. I know they were trying. And a bunch of other places are trying to hit that mark. How long it lasts, I don't know.
I will say for me, at the age of 35, I do not like going out a lot of times because the service is horrendous.
Yes.
And, you know, we're still going through this thing where, you know, restaurants and breweries and stuff like that may suck at paying or whatever it is. So they don't have people and, you know, the service industry is still in their funk. And so it can make it hard. Like, if you have to just sit around and wait for someone to come take your order and then it takes a while. We've had that at Sun King Fishers, which yep. I don't feel like should happen when people literally walk by you 12 times and they will not take your order.
Like, I had it at Sun King Carmel. Like,
yeah.
Mind blowing. I was at the other day, I took my son to Ale Emporium Fishers and I sat down with him. We were just going to get one of the big ass pretzels and I was going to get a beer and get him a root beer because he was excited to drink beer, quote unquote, like daddy. And so we sat down, the dude came to the table and did not look at me one time when talking. He was like, "Oh, can I get you?" And I was like, okay. So we ordered and then he came and he like slammed the beer on the table and kind of slid it at me and then walked away again. And then was like, "Can I get you guys some real food?" After we ordered the pretzel. And I was like, "Nah, we're just here for a snack, man." He's like, "Okay." And he walked away and like just tossed the check at me whenever we left. Dude, when I go, my goal is to tip a lot. Like, because I know what it's like to be a server and I've mm-hmm. been in that world. But if you're going to be a dick, I'm not going to tip you well. You're going to lose that tip. Look, dude, while I know it's weird, if somebody comes in with just a kid to Ale Emporium and you're not expecting them to tip much, my bill was $18. I would have likely tipped $10 or more to a good server because I know that I'm taking up a table that could have 5 or 6 people at it. But no, now you're going to get $1 because you were rude, didn't care. And I guarantee I wouldn't have got that service from a girl. It sounds weird to say, but I guarantee I would not have got that. Yeah. Because most likely they would have wanted to like smile and like wave at Roman and all that, but it just blows my mind. You're there to make money. Your whole goal is to be customer facing, right?
Yeah, right. it's not that hard, but like you continue to run into that and then you continue to just not really want to go out. And that's not everywhere. And we've had good times, we've had bad times. Some, you know, there's like when we did our little our jaunt across town. And we went to what was the beer brewery? And they had some kind of bad beer. And it's like, we did flights, and so you can kind of get over it. And we knew we were going to other places. It's not the end of the world. But like, what if that's your night out? And what if you chose all three of those beers to drink? Like, that's a bad time.
Yeah, for sure.
There's stuff like that. There's the carbonation problem. There's the buying beers at locations that you get home and then the beer that you bought is no good because there's literally no carbonation in the damn can. You know, if you want to talk inflation, we can talk price gouging for gas because I guarantee there's no real inflation going on there. We're just price gouging everyone. So, yeah, like I don't want to drive all over town just to go drink a beer or two when I got to pay $4 a gallon or, you know, be realistic, $3.70, because it seems like every time I finally decide to go anywhere, it's $3.70 at this point. Like, I don't want to do that. And like, okay, I can go to Scarlet Lane up the street, but lately they don't have a lot of beers on tap. And a lot of the ones on tap, I just don't personally like. I can go to Triton. That's fine. But like anywhere outside of that, like, I got to drive and you don't know what you're going to get. It's just so hit or miss. Whereas, you know, everybody wants to kind of poo poo drinking at home. Well, A, I went out, I can go to the store, buy exactly what I want and buy multiple things of what I want, come back home, be comfortable, not have to deal with anybody outside of my family. and be perfectly content with doing it. I can sit out back. You know, if you're a fire person, you can go build a fire and sit out back. You don't have to fight over tables. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to deal with rude people. Like, I think 2020 just kind of lit a fire under everybody's ass of there's way too many assholes out in this world. And it's not worth putting up with them. Like, and I think too that there is also a introvert versus extrovert thing, and the extroverts are still going out. But I think for the introverts, 2020 really pushed us inside and like told you it's okay. Like, the world isn't going to collapse if you don't go out and necessarily stimulate the economy from outside your house. You can do it inside. Amazon. Yeah. And all the delivery services, and I can go to Meijer just down the road, and I can literally get, like, they have so many beers that I am perfectly content with. Like, it's a lot of just playing the hits. Like, I'm not finding anything crazy, but I'm okay with that. Like, M43, Pseudo Sue, anything from Taxman, all the stuff from Three Floyds, Sun King, like, they just have everything you could need, and perfectly fine with that. Plus their ginormous liquor selection.
Yeah. So here, a few things. First, 26% of respondents said they plan to spend more on drinks for at home than on premise this year. That's interesting. Like, I feel like it's easy to spend more for drinks at home than it is for on premise. Now, not if you're going out to a bar all the time. Like, if your goal is, I'm going to go out and let's get crunk, then you're definitely going to go out and spend $100 easy because you're going to do shots and all that nonsense. But when I go out, it's most likely $50 total for wherever we go, like grand total. And whenever I go shopping for home, I feel like I definitely spend more because I'm more like...
Well, and you also have to remember, too, that this is more than just beer. And so, like, when you think about it, like, when you think about it from a spirit, like, just from a spirit category, you go out, you know, a good cocktail is running
$16.
Yeah.
Easy.
When we went to Hotel Tango, a 2-ounce pour of their reserve bourbon or whiskey. I can't remember. I think it was bourbon, was $13. A 2-ounce pour.
Yep.
That bottle was like $70. So it's like, you go out and you try it, but if you like it, I doubt you're going to go and just continue paying $13 over and over and over again. You know, and then, like, depending on how much you're drinking and how often you're drinking, like, I don't drink a lot when it comes to whiskeys and stuff, but I got a bunch of them. And so... they just kind of
last.
Sit there.
Like, yeah, they last.
They last a long time. So, you know, you just drink them as you go. And I'm not somebody who goes out and necessarily buys like 5 different ones. Like, most of what I got in there has been in there for a year, and they've just been random events. I'm like, oh, I want Screwball. And I got a gallon of Johnny Walker Black for my birthday in 2022 because my parents are insane.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
It was like, oh, you're back to drinking? Here's an entire gallon of Johnny Walker
Here's
Black.
How to die.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks.
So the last thing for this news story that really stood out, I think it's the most interesting to me, is that the survey found a likely resurgence in home entertaining in 2023. Did that, like, go away before? Like, I don't think that went away. I entertain at home just as much now as I did in 2014. I have a fucking way bigger house and way more places to entertain people, but I feel like I entertain just as much. I don't know that I would qualify as an introvert, but I feel like I would prefer to be around a small group of people than go to these places where I have to shout over stuff and interact with people that I don't know, nor do I care about.
Yeah, my guess is this is more hyperbolic than anything else. Mainly because, you know, we can say we're 3 years post pandemic, but really I feel like it's more like two, you know, 2021.
If not one. Like,
yeah, 2021 still kind of felt a little weird, even as things kind of reopened and stuff like that, and everyone tried to go back to, you know, whatever the new normal became. But I mean, obviously people are going to be more interested. Also, when did you do this? How many people did you ask? What's the demographics? I didn't see any of that. Like, you know, it's just kind of this. And it's just like 21% of respondents stated they plan to host friends. Okay, well then what was the results last year?
Yeah, like 10?
Yeah. Like if we're on a resurgence, then where are we at? Like 21% doesn't sound very high.
Yeah.
Like when you think about it. Like that's, you know, out of 100 people, that's 21 people told you that they plan to host people, while 79 people said, no, I don't want to host anyone.
So what was
unless
it
I'm just reading 14? This wrong. Yeah.
Like 14 out of 100. And I don't know. I've always been one to prefer hosting people at our house than go out places for a few reasons, because one, I can bring in whatever I want to drink. I can go to Total Wine, Cons, to Stoney's, whatever it may be, get all kinds of crazy beers, crazy interesting things, get these ridiculous meads that I'm going to pay $20 a glass for out in the public. But if I do it in my house, it's $40 for the bottle. Like, why would I prefer going out? Like, why would I ever choose that? It's just, it's interesting. Now, I don't like cleaning, so that's part of why sometimes I'd rather go out, but I would rather be able to drink whatever I want right here in my house. So then when it's all said and done, I have to walk 14 stairs up to the main floor and yep. pass out in the bed instead of hopefully get home or take an Uber and then have to get my car the next day or whatever that may be. Like, sure, it's fun and all, but I feel like you said, 2020 caused a lot of rifts and it taught us a lot about what really matters.
Mm-hmm. You were not wrong. For the final topic here, it's called Around Indiana. We got four upcoming events that we have found. If you got an event coming up in the near future at all, let us know. We can, one, add it to the Barrel Chat calendar, which you can find on our link in Instagram, the link in our bio. But we have History on Tap at Connor Prairie, which is technically happening tonight as you're listening to this, June 2nd. So that is going on at Connor Prairie. I really wish I could go to that one. That one sounded kind of cool. But
oh, that's tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah, tomorrow.
I think it's
tonight.
Sold out, though.
Oh, really?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think I looked and it was sold out.
Yeah,
although
$60 just sounded like a lot.
I wonder if there was a member price. We're Connor Prairie members, so.
Yeah, so that's happening, as I said, technically tonight because you're listening to this on June 2nd. Then we saw that the Guggenhaus has their fourth anniversary party, which is happening on June 17th.
We'll both be gone, so.
I know. Like, I've seen a few different things that I really want to go to, and it's literally while I'm on vacation. And it's just like, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
This one sounds like it'd be fun. It's going to be big. It's going to be well attended because they're just popular right now.
Mm-hmm. Which, can't blame them. They make good stuff. And if you haven't listened to this last Wednesday's episode, we did their milk jug, or winner's milk jug, their milk stout, as our beer review, so definitely check that out. Then on July 7th, Ash and Elm is having their 7th anniversary party, and it's a rooftop party, which I thought was kind of cool. So I imagine it's going to be on the roof of their new building. $7, limited quantities, obviously, because the roof can only hold so many people. But I thought that was kind of neat to see what they got going on.
Their place is interesting now. It's way bigger.
I like it. Yeah.
Way bigger.
I like it.
It reminds me of, I don't know if you've been, but in Columbus, there's Hoofhearted. And
I've not.
So Hoofhearted is on the outside of an apartment complex. And you can, like, buy tickets to swim in the apartment complex's pool while you're drinking Hoof's Hearted beer.
Sounds like a risky move for the apartment complex.
I mean, money's money, yo. I'm not, $20 is $20.
And then the last one I saw, I actually stumbled across this on Facebook last night, and Pax Verum is doing a third annual Way Out Beer Fest. I don't remember seeing this before.
Is so, that at their location?
I don't know. It's in LaPel. So
okay, cool. So, I mean, there's...
I'm going to guess no, because it says that there's 30 breweries, wineries, and distilleries.
It's way too small there, yeah.
Well, it says downtown, or, yeah, downtown Mead.
They probably just block off the square.
Yeah. So, let's see here. Take place on the picturesque downtown Main Street of LaPel in front of their tap room. So, yes.
Okay.
They're just going to be at the tap room and just block it all off. That's kind of cool. The event will focus on quality and will showcase many unique, unusual, and rare Way Out beers for the participating breweries. Expect to see and enjoy many new beers and or riffs on existing beers. Attendees will also have the opportunity to vote on their favorite Way Out People's Choice beer and brewery at the event, which is what I thought was kind of interesting, because there's some stuff. Like, you know, Greg, the assistant brewer at Hoosier, who's one of our buddies, sent us some beers that he was drinking today as research, and good Lord, those all looked kind of gross. But, like, there's a blue milk one from RAR, which is just a play on the blue milk from Star Wars Disneyland.
Well, look.
He did have a Mortalis.
They are literally comparing fruit juices to other fruit juices. Like, at this point, like, their whole goal is studying fruited sours, heavily sours. Yeah, but he's going to die. He's going to die of diabetes.
Well, yeah,
in a month. Like, Jesus,
that is true. That is true. Be a,
like, if you're drinking your own to sample them, and then you're bringing in other people's to sample them, like, they got a 4-pack sampler from 450 when they went down there not too long ago. I'm just like, how many diabetes bombs can you drink before you're like, maybe, just maybe, I should stop?
That would be interesting. Like, I got diabetes from drinking fruited beers. Like,
dude, there's so much sugar in them, right?
Oh, like, yeah, I'm sure there is.
It's probably worse for you than, like, a Big Mac.
That is going to do it for this Friday 4-pack. Be on the lookout next week for Daybreak, the coffee vanilla cream ale from Wolf Ridge Brewing, which is out of Columbus, Ohio. Again, if you haven't listened to our previous episode, that was Googman House's Winner's Milk Jug Milk Stout. That was, spoiler alert, a pretty damn good beer. And that's, I will, good. Say, I'm just gonna start pumping this one up 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now, we have Highland Brewery's Gaelic Ale. You don't want to miss that episode. You
out
really
of left
don't.
Field, baby.
Holy crap. Holy crap. So, just giving a nice little tease there to be on that lookout for that here in 2 weeks. So, until next time, cheers.
Cheers, y'all.